Tech and Talk Radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. This episode is produced in partnership with West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology.
This is the Best of the West, inspiring women with real stories, hosted by West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology.
Hello and welcome to Best of the West. I'm your host, Vanessa, and today I'm talking with Shade Akinbami, who is a multifaceted Nigerian-Canadian artist and practicing civil engineer. Shade's heritage has played a major role in the carving of her path thus far, a path which intertwines both the science and the arts. Having graduated with a degree in civil engineering, concentration in management, Shade has since then followed an unconventional path by being a project engineer, project manager, and also a singer, songwriter, and producer. Inspired by her Yoruba and Igbo heritage and a family of multi-talented individuals, Shade found her artistic expression in music that ranges from Afro-soul to conscious alternative R&B, neo-soul, and contemporary R&B. Her music is certainly in a category of its own. One of Shade's long-term aspirations is to use her knowledge of building materials to influence the construction standards and building codes in Nigeria and parts of Africa, and to influence the Nigerian real estate with affordable, modern, multi-purpose buildings. Awesome. Welcome to the podcast, Shade.
Thank you. Feels good to be here.
Oh, good. I'm really happy to have you here, and I'm really looking forward to hearing your journey and the interweaving of arts and STEM. So let's just go for it. Why don't we start with you telling us a bit about what occupies your days right now?
Yeah, definitely. What occupies my days? I work in the building sciences industry. And so that's my 9 to 5. And outside of work, I sing. So and I songwrite and produce as per the bio. So lots of, you know, music activities and shows when, you know, it's with COVID, it's been different, but
yes, I can imagine
shows when, yeah, oh yeah, the scene's completely different, but you know, whenever the show comes up, yes, I do. And when I have the time and all of that, and it lines up nicely, I've been able to perform at different venues, even with the pandemic. And then,
nice.
Yeah, that's kind of that. And then, you know, personal life, spending time with family, spending time with my partner. Yeah.
Awesome. Sounds busy.
Yeah.
So engineer by day and then singer, songwriter, performer by night, afternoon, weekend, however it fits in.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
Exactly.
Very cool. And so how did you end up at your current position when it comes to your engineering work?
It's an interesting story because I've always loved architecture and I've always thought of it as the more creative. Well, I wouldn't say it's the more creative because there's creativity in everything, mm-hmm. but it's definitely an aspect that I've definitely enjoyed all my life, just looking at buildings. Like I fell in love with high rise buildings and even like the traditional contemporary European style buildings from a very early age. I just found myself paying attention to a lot of buildings and how they're constructed and just naturally liking them. And
cool.
even interior design as well, just anything related to buildings as a whole, I just have a lot of interest in. So I always thought I was going to end up being an architect and follow that path. And then by the time university came along, I found myself going into engineering because the school that I went to was very, very competitive to get into architecture. Mm. So they were like, hey, you know, you've got the grades for engineering. Would you like to give this shot? And, you know, at the time I was like, all right, well, I guess civil engineering seems to be the closest thing to possibly working with architects in the future. Let's do that.
Nice.
And then I end up in building sciences where it's like a really nice hybrid. That's how I got here in like a really quick summary.
Very cool. Yeah, it's that curiosity that leads to finding out how you can pursue something or how you can work in your interests. And there you go.
Exactly.
So very cool.
Exactly.
Would you say that there were key events or people that helped you get where you are now? And if so, what or who are they?
Absolutely. I would say, it, like the saying goes, it takes a village. And
yeah.
Growing up, I would definitely say that there were a lot of people that believed in me and believed in my potential and just really invested their time in speaking to me and made me see from a very early age that I could be anything and I could do anything. And I just found that I was surrounded by a lot of multifaceted people that, were pursuing sciences and arts and mm-hmm. had all these multi interests and were geniuses and inventors. And I just, and even my father was, he himself was a PhD holder and was specialized in, I think it's called Ziegler catalysis. And so even
that
he
is a mouthful.
I know, and I have no idea what it means. I have to Google it every time. I wish I could tell you what it is right now, but
that's okay.
And so just having that influence of the sciences from and the arts from a very early age really shaped my perspective on what I could achieve. I would definitely say teachers were my mentors as well. There were a lot of people who just believed in me, and it was a very healthy community that made me feel like I could be in this space regardless of the fact that I am a woman.
Nice. That's so nice to hear. We get a variety of answers to that question. It seems like most people that come on the podcast really do have a supportive environment, which is amazing. But some people also haven't and have had to kind of create that supportive community around them. So, both are totally valid, but I'm really happy to hear that you have the positive side of that. What would you say has been one of the most memorable moments from your career or your education or even like your music career?
Ooh, I would say, wow, there's been lots of memorable moments. One for me, definitely a milestone for me, was when I became a professional engineer. It was just this feeling of like fear and excitement at the same time of like, oh my gosh, this actually happened. Like I'm a professional engineer, and I worked my way here. And so that was a lovely moment for me. And then with music, a memorable moment would probably be the first time I released a body of work to the world.
Cool.
It was a very, very frightening experience. Again, I think just any milestone just scares me and excites me at the same time.
Nice.
And so in releasing that to the world, it was just really nice to see the support and the love that came from that.
Awesome. I can imagine it is nerve-wracking because you're putting yourself out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a certain level of risk with everything.
What would you say is your proudest accomplishment?
My proudest accomplishment. It's a really difficult question for me because I feel like I'm a recovering perfectionist, I like to say. And I used to be really big on accomplishments. I used to be really big on setting these audacious goals and being like, okay, I need to have this, whether it was realistic or not, mm-hmm. and sort of, tab that for my life. And so it put this massive pressure on myself to keep accomplishing without having a purpose behind it and just wanting to just get and achieve and achieve and achieve.
Right.
And so now I'm sort of seeing things a little differently and just more of appreciating myself and appreciating how far I've come, especially living in a pandemic for the last year and a half.
Yeah.
And not necessarily seeing, every big milestone as the accomplishments, but even the little milestones, like being able to make it through, the last crazy year and a half and still being able to work and do music and just get by day to day. That being said, of course, you know, I'm also proud of being a professional engineer. I'm also proud of, you know, being a musician, being a producer, being an artist. And I'm just sort of high-fiving myself. I listen to that on a podcast where it's like every day, just take a moment to high-five yourself and your accomplishments, no matter how small they are. So I don't know if that kind of answers the question.
It's
a little
great.
Bit.
No, it's great. And I love...
like a different way?
No, I love it. And I love that you're high-fiving yourself. I think we all should be high-fiving ourselves once in a while. Yeah. So I love that. Yeah. That's great. So you talked about all these amazing people that have been around you, really supporting you through your journey. But what really inspired you to pursue a career in STEM?
It's definitely a mix. I would definitely say my parents had a huge influence in that. And that might be a cultural thing where, you know, our parents love the big fours, or is it the big five? You're either a lawyer, or you're an engineer, or you're an accountant, or you're a doctor.
So yeah, the big four.
Exactly, the big four. Because for them, it's like this sense of stability and all of those things. And I think, I think it was definitely a mix. Because I think some of it was my personal interests, i.e. in architecture. But some of it was also definitely parental influence and community influence, because the people around me made me feel like I had what it took to pursue this. Definitely, I didn't know what I was getting into, because university was work, was a lot of work. Oh, yeah. and a lot of commitment. But at the same time, I would say that just having that support system definitely made me feel like I could do it.
Yeah.
And so I just went into it blindly with the mindset of, you know what, I'm going to give this, you know, the best that I can. Exactly. And figure it out as you go along, right? Like, you know, like anything in life. And I'd say also in some ways, just seeing that there was a lack of representation when it comes to women in STEM and people of color in STEM as well. I was like, hey, this is something that, or I should say specifically engineering, because I know that there are some women in the sciences in some areas, but there's still like the margin is still, you know, not balanced at all. So that in some ways also inspired me, because I was thinking to myself, hey, like this would be a great opportunity for someone else in the future. And I could sort of, you know, mentor them along that path. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really interesting that was actually a motivator for you. I will say I was looking at some statistics just yesterday about women in STEM in Canada, and and then breaking it down further into visible minorities, people of color, indigenous people, LGBTQ2S+ people. I mean,
yes,
there's still a lot of work to be done, but that's why we have things like this podcast. So
exactly. Shining light on women and just minorities. It's beautiful. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. I love doing it. So I'm so happy that we're here to talk about this. So when it came to university, you just talked about how it was really hard, lots of work and dedication. How would you say, though, that those studies helped to mold your career path?
Work ethic, I would say, was the big thing, because we had, especially as we went further along in university, we would have these classes where I look back and I'm like, why did you put us through that again? But I realized that it was more about the work ethic, or parts of it was hugely influenced by trying to create a good work ethic for a lot of us, because, you know, we would have, I remember one assignment, it was for wood engineering. And I think that assignment, I had to have submitted like a 40 page or so number of pages, like it was like 40 pages of calculations. And I was just looking at it like, wow, this is a lot. But you know, I think about that, and I think about the deadlines, the tight deadlines that we had, the number of courses, and all with assignments, and all with these massive expectations to obviously do well. And it definitely created work ethic. It definitely allowed me to be a better team player as well, because a lot of our assignments also or projects involved, you know, working in teams, mm-hmm. working with people. And I would say also having a concentration in management was also fantastic, because then I got to work with other students that weren't in engineering, but were in maybe business or in accounting. And so we got to, you know, exchange minds, exchange ideas, and it just sort of shaped my the way that I communicate differently and the way that I present differently. And so, yeah, it definitely played a huge part. You know, mm-hmm. I can look back now and say that, yeah, you know, it played a huge part, but in the moment it was definitely tough, and there were definitely days where I was just like, wow, this is hard. Many, yeah. you know, sleepless nights, and all from all-nighters to just all of the things that you go through university, and you're just like, I just want to get through, I just want to do this well. But, you know, having that end goal in mind definitely helped me to keep pushing, and having that mindset is definitely something that even helps me today with projects and with working with people, because you're working with people with different disciplines, working with contractors, working with stratas, working with property managers, developers, so on and so forth. It's like you're balancing, you know, different goals that people have in their own industries, and trying to create the best results for mm-hmm. your clients and things like that. So it's definitely transferable skills all around.
Nice. Would you say that, I guess I'll just ask the question, what would your mm-hmm. tips or tricks for students be when they're studying your field?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. tips and tricks for students that are studying in my field.
I mean, it's not always advised to do all-nighters.
Mm-hmm. No. Oh, gosh, no. That's a bad idea. But if you have to, you know.
I mean, I've been there. I understand.
Exactly. I've been there. They're tough times, especially when you're trying to balance so much. Yeah. And I think a lot of times we also still want a social life, like, especially, you know, in university, you have friends. And exactly. You want to hang out with your friends. And sometimes they're not in engineering. They might be in, you know, a different program that might not require as much commitment. Right. And you have to weigh that out and ask yourself, like, is it really worth, you know, the amount of time that I'm going to spend, you know, hanging out, or should I maybe work on this project? And then if I have some time, hang out afterwards, you know, just balancing priorities, I think, is the big thing. And I think another advice I would give is to not rush, because I had this feeling of like, I need to be done right now. I need to get, you know, to the next step and the next step. And then, you know, not everyone's learning process is the same. Mm-hmm. I found that as I went through university that I had a lot of anxiety. Like, I would get very nervous, when exams will come around, or I would get very nervous about assignments and things like that. And I found that when I look back, I was thinking to myself, oh, I didn't really need to put myself under that pressure of, you know, for example, I could have chosen maybe in some years that, okay, this year seems like there's a lot going on. Maybe I could do 4 courses each semester instead of 5 or 6, and then do the rest in the summer. Like, just reminding myself that this race is very individual, mm-hmm. and there's no rush to the finish line. Like, what's most important is the goals that I've set for myself to accomplish. And so however long that needs is however long it would take, basically.
Yeah.
And so, I think that looking back, I definitely felt like, you know, and in some ways it was from a competitive nature as well, of just, you know, wanting to be done at the same time as your peers. Right. I mean, in the end, I was an internship, so I wasn't really, everyone still finished in their own time. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's just this feeling of like wanting to compete and stay on top of things. Yep. But it's like, you need to take your time and really think to yourself, like, what is it that you really want? What is the end goal here? And what's going to inspire you to continue pursuing this path when you leave university as well, because that's what matters. Because when you get to the 9 to 5, you're not going to have, you know, all of your mates from university being like, hey, how's it going? Like, it's now you, it's your journey, it's your path. Yeah. So you've got to commit to something that you love or you'll enjoy, and that is worth it for you. And if it is, then, you know, give yourself that time to learn it and to be good at it.
Yeah, 100%. And we have this idea, like when I was in university, I had this idea that I had to get done in 4 years. And I even did like some studies over the summer because I was like, I just need to get done by a certain date. And looking back, I'm like, I really didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
There was really no reason to rush. So I love that you're saying that. I don't think it can be said enough, honestly. Well, great. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. So I would like to go a little bit into the negative. And just ask about a less than great moment or an issue that you had to overcome. I always say that I think it really helps our listeners to know, like, things are hard sometimes, and whether it's something that you've done or somebody else has done, how do you get through it? How do you come out the other side stronger, et cetera? So would love to hear if you have something.
Absolutely. I would say a few things. Being a Black woman in STEM has been, I would say, a learning experience for a lot of people who come into contact with me in the industry and vice versa, because I've come into situations where maybe I was the first Black engineer that they ever met, or the first Black female engineer that they've ever met. And so a lot of times there's this stereotype that's been... I guess a lot of people have this stereotype of what Black people should be like, or of what Black women should be, or even women in general. And then they use that bias or that stigma when they're communicating to you and almost try to, you know, mansplain things to you, or sometimes even just be straight up rude and ask you on a date on a site. Oh. Yep, that happened.
And
it was very awkward.
Oh my goodness.
It was extremely awkward. It was dealt with and you know, and resolved, but at the same time, it's just one of those things that, you know, being a woman is a different experience where you have to, you know, you have to have thick skin, of course, because you're dealing with different people, but at the same time, you know, and you have to set boundaries, you know, for yourself and communicate those boundaries to people so that they also understand how to treat you and how to communicate with you. And so it's been, you know, there've definitely been times like that where people just don't maybe understand how to communicate. And, you know, I've also had situations where the first, you know, the moment they see me, I can see it in their eyes. They're looking, they're like, where are you from? And they start asking all these questions that have nothing to do whatsoever with the meeting or with the project. They just start like really fixating on you. And it almost makes you wonder, like, okay, am I doing something wrong? Am I odd? Or, you know, you almost start to turn it into a negative thing in your mind, because you're just wondering, like, what is it about me that makes me stand out so much in this space? And then, you know, trying to navigate through that with kindness, communicating with people what you expect from them. And so there's been a lot of that. And then also, if I was to think of like a specific example, I would say there was a time I was working with this consultant on a project, and I guess, you know, I don't think she had the, and unfortunately in this case it was the woman in the situation, and I don't think she had a lot of experience working with other women in the industry, or either other women or women of color, because there was a lot of hostility when we came into contact with each other, and we were, you know, talking about this project, and she just seemed to be very hesitant, and it almost seemed like she was expecting someone else from, you know, to meet with her as opposed to me. And so it just made me feel like, oh, interesting. I wonder why. So, you know, as usual, I try to treat everything with kindness and just, you know, go on about, you know, the meeting and just, you know, leading the meeting and continue with the discussions. But I just found throughout it, there was a lot of defensiveness. And then there was a follow-up email with all of these complaints as to why this didn't go the way that she wanted, and why she was expecting this person and not me, and all of these things. And we all just looked at the email like, wow, someone had a bad day, you know. And it's funny because, you know, I automatically I saw that and I just thought, okay, this
is striking me as a little bit of as a bit of microaggression. And I don't think that this person even knows that, you know, that she's doing that. And so from that experience, it's made me become more vocal, you know, just getting a sense of like, you know, where people are coming from and what their perspective is and what their expectations are and vice versa. It's like, I expect you to treat me with respect and the same thing I will do to you and replicate that. And so, yeah, it's I would say the big thing has been dealing with that difference in culture, difference in race, and just trying to navigate through and make people see that, you know, I'm just as good as the next person. I'm just as qualified to be here, to be in this space, and just trying to be respected.
There's a few things that stand out to me in that story. And one of them is that I think many of us women, regardless of which field we're in, have actually internalized a lot of this misogyny and a lot of this, what's the word I'm looking for? These microaggressions and things like that. And we don't even realize it. And it makes me also think that sometimes when people are treating you a certain way, it is really their problem and it doesn't really have much to do with you. I mean, it may have something to do with you on a surface level, but yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
And what you just said about setting boundaries, those are so important. And we just have to become comfortable in doing that. But we also have to work to have these cultures where that's a safe place to set those boundaries, and also to it would be really great if we could get to a point where we don't have to sort of expect that we might have hostility from other people. So that's the goal, right? But I mean, of course, exactly. It's a long road to get there. So
exactly. It's a long road to get there. And I think the key thing is communicating, you know, I think for a long time we've stayed silent and we've stayed just sort of, okay, I'm just going to be, you know, in my little circle. But then as we see more and more women sort of taking those positions of leadership, the expectation is that they can also bring other women along and mentor them and show them how to also set the boundaries that they've been able to set to get them to where they are. And you're right that, you know, a lot of times these things have been internalized. You know, for so long you've had to fight, you've had to push to get to where you are, especially for women in this industry, because there's so few of us. And so you feel like everyone's the enemy, but it's like, well, no, everyone's not the enemy. You know, there are people here who also want to work with you and collaborate. And, you know, so the more that we have these conversations, the more that we can really discuss what the root of this problem is, which is that lack of representation of female leaders in STEM.
Yeah, absolutely. The conversations are so important. That's how we change minds, is by talking about it and putting it out in the open. And glad that we're able to do that. Thank you so much for sharing those experiences. I know it's not always easy to share them, but it's really eye-opening and helpful, I think. So I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's go the other way and get positive again.
It's funny. Sorry. Before we go, actually, there's this lady. I wish I could remember her name. She's an engineer. I think she's on the contracted side. She's a civil engineer. And she actually talked about that on a site where, you know, she went on a site and the contractors just automatically assumed, because she had her nails done and her hair looked nice, they just automatically assumed that she didn't know what she was doing or what she was there for. And they would say things like, you know, you need help, sweetheart. And she had a similar experience where someone asked her on a date. And I was like, oh my gosh, so this really does happen. Like, people do have this experience with, you know, and in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I was like, wow, I just admired that she was able to talk about that so publicly, because it was something that I think this is actually the first time that I'm even talking about it publicly, because I just felt this sense of like shame, almost like, oh my gosh, like, did I do something?
Right.
And, you know, but in this case, when I saw that video, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this just gives me the confidence to share these experiences, because the more we do, the more other women could be like, oh yeah, me too, I went through that. And then we can establish those boundaries on a thicker scale.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. And learn from each other. What did you do in this situation?
Exactly.
How did that go for you?
Exactly.
We have to sort of band together and Well, exactly. I'm not surprised that those experiences were had, but it also just makes me cringe. Like, yeah. Come on, everybody, just let's not do that. And it's,
let's not do
it's
that.
Not even a thing of gender, even. It's just like, we're at work.
Like, exactly.
We're not.
Time and place.
Time and place. If you're going to ask somebody out that you're working with, wait to like establish a relationship with them first. At least.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, at the goodness. Very least.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad that we can also put a